Let us hear God's word as we turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and we read together Genesis chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down in the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and ill-treated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking brazier with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. If you were to imagine opening the Bible for the first time, suppose you had never seen a Bible before, you opened the book, the first thing probably you would do is to read down the list of contents. And you would see there a list of 66 books. And you would conclude this is a library. It's not just one book, but it's a whole range of books. And you might flick through the pages, and you'll see some of its history, some of its poetry. There are all kinds of literature in this library. And you might wonder, well, is this really one book? Christians talk about the Bible, but it appears actually to be a library of books. Is there anything that holds this library together, that gives these 66 books unity, to make it really one book in 66 parts? And the answer is yes. There are some great themes that run all the way through the Bible, from Genesis at the beginning right through to Revelation at the end. Themes that you can trace through the different books of the Bible. And these give this library a real unity. And one of the great themes that ties the whole Bible together and gives unity to all of its books is the theme of covenant. Covenant is a word you encounter very quickly in reading through the Bible. We'll come to it this evening. And you can trace the theme of covenant all the way through, right to the very end of the Bible. It's one of the great themes in God's book. And as we continue this evening with our studies in the life of Abram, we'll be thinking about God's covenant, beginning to see something of what it means. What is a covenant? What's it all about? Because if we're going to understand the Bible, covenant is one subject we need really to get a grip of and know what it means, because it keeps recurring all the way through. Sometime after the events of chapter 14, we don't know how long it was, Abram is given by God a strange visionary experience. And this is one of the turning points in the life of Abram and in the book of Genesis. This is particularly important. I want this evening to look at Genesis 15. We're looking at the whole chapter. And we want to think about God's covenant with Abram. God's covenant with Abram. The first thing we see at the very beginning of the chapter is a gracious promise. A gracious promise. Remember, Abram, in the previous chapter, has rejected any compromise with evil, with paganism, with sin. And in some ways, materially, it has cost him. He could have had all the spoil that had been taken in the battle, but he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take anything. And so Abram has stood firmly for the Lord. And now here in chapter 15, the Lord graciously comes to Abram and encourages him and renews his covenant and his promise with his servant Abram. Now, earlier in the book of Genesis, God made promises to Abram when he called him to leave his home away back in Ur. And now God is expanding and elaborating those promises. God is revealing a bit more of his purpose for Abram. Abram only knew a bit at a time. He didn't know the whole plan, but God revealed it little by little. Sometimes the Old Testament has been described as like a room where the door is closed and you're standing outside. And God opens the door a little bit. And so you begin to understand something of what God is like, something of his plan and purpose. And then God opens the door a little bit more and you can see more of his plan. And some things that weren't very clear at the beginning are a bit clearer, and you can see some of the connections, the way you see into a room little by little. To start with, you're really confused, you don't understand. You see a little bit more of it, it starts to make sense. Maybe there's a chair in the corner, and you realize that that object over there is the side of a table. And it's like that in the Bible. Little by little, God reveals his plan to us. Not all at once, but step by step. And now the door is swinging open a little bit more for Abram and for us. God simply tells him and tells us as much as is needed at the time. God makes, he renews his gracious promise to Abram. And there are two parts of that promise as it's set out in chapter 15. The first thing you see is in verse 1. God says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Isn't that a promise that would really encourage Abram? You know, he has just paid a price for faithfulness to the Lord. There's so much material he could have had, but he wouldn't take it. And now God comes, and really he's telling Abram, you haven't lost anything. You've actually gained a tremendous amount. I am your shield. I am your great reward. You don't need this wealth. You don't need this material prosperity. I'm your reward. The Lord is encouraging Abram. He tells him not to be afraid. And that suggests to us that Abram was tempted to be afraid. Remember, here he is living in a totally pagan culture. people who followed other religions, some of them very immoral, very dark. And Abram, at times, must have been tempted to be afraid and to feel threatened by all these pagans around him. And the Lord comes and reassures him, don't be afraid. Yes, you're living in an alien world. You're living among people who aren't sympathetic to your beliefs at all. Don't be afraid. I'm looking after you. Tremendous encouragement. Abram's being reassured that his security, his protection, don't depend on himself. The Lord called him to leave his homeland way back in Ur. The Lord is guiding his path to the place that God has chosen for him. So God will defend him. God will be his shield. The Lord will look after him. God is not going to let his plan fail. The Lord has a plan for Abram, that Abram will have descendants that will lead right down to Christ the Saviour, and nothing is going to destroy that plan. God won't allow it. And so Abram is reassured. God is his shield and his reward. And he's seen how God protects him. He had gone out risking everything to rescue Lot. God had kept him safe. So Abram had good reason, good grounds for trusting the Lord. God hadn't failed him. And God wasn't going to fail him. Never. And isn't that the kind of assurance that God's people always need, that we need? The assurance that our God, our covenant God, watches over us in a hostile world. It doesn't mean that we'll never have any hard experiences. It doesn't mean that there won't be tough times, that there'll be sad times. There will. But God is in control even of those things. And he won't allow us to fall, finally, into sin. It's a tremendous assurance to have. Our God is in control. Our God is sovereign. He is our shield, just as he was a shield for Abram. He cares for us. He protects us. Psalm 118 and verse 6, the psalmist says, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid." And that's what the Christian can say. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. I am your shield, God says. And then he goes on, your very great reward. Your great reward. God is telling Abram, his servant, that it's God himself who is Abram's reward. It's not wealth. It's not power, it's not influence. Those aren't the rewards Abram should be looking for. It's God himself and fellowship with God. It's in that that Abram should find the greatest satisfaction and joy. Not in piling up the money in the bank, if they had any banks in those days. Not in exercising influence and being important in society. Those things in the end don't really matter. It's fellowship with God. That's what matters. That is what is important. Because that lasts not only in this life, but it lasts forever. And Abram is to find his joy and his satisfaction in knowing God, in having fellowship with God, in learning more about God, and serving God. These are the things that are the real reward for Abram. Those are the things that are the real reward for every Christian. To know God. To have fellowship with him. To be able to talk to him. To know that he cares for us. Those are the most important things in life. Those are the things that should give us satisfaction. And it's a good test of how spiritual we are. Do we find joy in having fellowship with God, in reading his word, in worshipping him? Are those the things that really delight us, are we just like everybody else, pursuing money and security and success and all the things that the world is looking for? Where do you find your satisfaction tonight? Is it in the things in the world that will pass away one day? Or is it in God and knowing and loving and serving Him? Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. That's one half of God's gracious promise to Abram. But there's more. And we have it in verse 4. That's the promise that Abram will have an heir. Someone to succeed him. Someone to follow on after him. He will have a son. Because if Abram is to inherit the promised land and to have all the blessings for his descendants that God says he will give him, there is one thing Abram has to have. And that's a son. Because if he doesn't have a son, his line will just die out. And all these promises from God will amount to nothing. Abram must have a son. And that's something that will grow in importance as we go through Abram's story. And as Abram gets older and older, and there's no son, but God says there will be a son, and that really tests Abram's faith. Years go by. God said, you will have an heir. You'll have a son, and there is no son. It'll be a real test. Here is God's promise. God says that Abram would have an heir, a son. The inheritance is not going to go to a foreigner, to Eliezer of Damascus. It'll be a son born from Abram's line. And God guarantees it. He will have an heir. And so there will be numerous descendants of Abram. God takes Abram outside. And he says, look up at the stars. Can you count them? Have you tried to count the stars? Well, God says, that's how numerous your descendants, your offspring are going to be. That's what I'm going to do for you, Abram. And it will mean Abram must have a son, must have an heir. A multitude of descendants, of offspring, like the stars of the sky. Another illustration God uses, like the sand on the beach. Who are these descendants? Who is God talking about? Well, the Bible shows us quite clearly. This extends beyond those who are Jewish by their ethnic identity. It's not just Jewish people. In one sense, the Jews, of course, are descendants of Abram. They are physically his descendants. No argument about that. But they've never been like the stars in the sky or the sand on the beach. No, there's a deeper fulfillment of God's promise than that. It's not simply the Jewish nation. The promise that God gives to Abram is fulfilled in the vast number of people from all the nations who will trust in the Lord and will be saved from their sins. That's the fulfillment of the promise of offspring from Abram. Well, am I just making this up? Where did I get this from? Well, it's spelled out in the New Testament. That's the wonderful thing, you see. God in the New Testament tells us what some of these passages mean in the Old Testament. We're not left to wonder, what on earth do they mean? And we're told in Galatians 3 and verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Every believer, everyone who's saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, makes up the seed of Abram. Every Christian is here in this promise in Genesis 15 and verse 5. We are there. God had us all in view when he made that promise to Abram. It's those who share Abram's faith. That is the qualification It isn't what race do you belong to. It's do you share Abram's faith. That's what qualifies men and women, whether they're Jews or Gentiles, as the offspring of Abram. We are the fulfillment. All Christians, whatever their race, their colour, their language, are the fulfillment of this great promise. Those who share in Abram's faith. That's the qualification. Your race doesn't matter. Your colour doesn't matter. It's do you share the faith of Abram? Gracious promise. Promise of God's care and protection. The promise of an heir and of a vast multitude of descendants. But we've talked about faith being the qualification, and it leads us to think of the second thing that we see in this chapter, and that is a living faith. A living faith. Key words we find in verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. The faith of Abram is made clear and explicit here in verse 6. It's not the first time that Abram has trusted God, but this is a big moment in Abram's experience. Here, his faith comes to its clearest expression so far. God makes his promise, and it's gracious. Abram couldn't deserve any of this. Abram's response is to believe what God had said. That's all he can do. It's all he's asked to do. Believe. Believe in what God has promised. What exactly did Abram believe? Well, he believed the promise of offspring, of an heir. But it's more than just confidence that God will give him numerous descendants. Abram's faith basically was in the one through whom this promise would be fulfilled. Because the promise is fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ, Abram's descendant. Jesus who died on the cross and rose again. It's through what he has done that the promises are fulfilled. That men and women are saved. That are brought to the same faith as Abram. Christ is in view. And ultimately it's in Christ that Abram was believing and trusting. Oh, certainly there was a great deal about Christ that Abram couldn't foresee all those years before. Some 1800 years before Jesus would come into the world. But he knew enough. God gave him the faith to believe in Christ who was to come. Abram believed in Christ. And Jesus himself tells us that that was what he did. You turn up John 8 and verse 56. Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad." You imagine that? Abram, all those years before, had the faith given by God to trust in Christ who was to come. That was a miracle that God wrought in Abram's heart. He was trusting in Christ through whom the promises would be fulfilled. And what we have here in Genesis 15 is justification by faith. Way back in the Old Testament, Abram was counted as righteous before God, not because he was a particularly moral man, not because he tried very hard, not because he did lots of good things, none of that. But Abram simply believed, and God counted him as righteous. That's what justification by faith is. That we are counted as righteous in God's sight, simply by trusting in Christ, We can't merit it, we can't earn it, we can't do good works to pay for it. It's free. That's what grace is, it's free. God's free favour to people who don't deserve it. People like you and me. Abram believed, and God counted him as righteous. And if you've time to read Romans 4, I'd encourage you to do that. It talks a lot there about the faith that Abram had. How apart from any efforts or any good works he might have done, he was justified by faith. And you see, it's not any different for you and me. In a real sense, nothing has changed. The one thing that's changed, of course, is now the Lord Jesus Christ has come, lived, died on the cross, risen again. Abram looked forward to the coming of Christ. You and I look back to the coming of Christ. But the only thing that can save any of us is believing, trusting in him. It's not our good works. It's not our efforts. It's not our merits. It's nothing that we can do that can satisfy God's requirements. The only thing we can do is trust in Christ to save us. That's what Abram did. And that's what you and I have to do. If we are to be righteous in God's sight, we have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way in which sinful people like you and me can be saved. It's the only way in which we can be just in God's sight. We trust in the Lord Jesus. Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 4. He says that these words that were written here in Genesis 15 were not only written for Abram, but they were written for us. Romans 4:23, this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says the words, "It was credited to him," words we have here in Genesis 15, "were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead." It's just the same for you and me. Same way of salvation. We may be living thousands of years after Abram, but there's no new way, there's no different way to be righteous before God. It must simply be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of Abram. Abram believed. God counted him as righteous. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God counts you righteous in his sight. God forgives your sin. God makes you one of his children. That's what it is to be a Christian. Christian isn't a matter of going to church, going to meetings, carrying a big Bible, doing good works. Those don't make you a Christian. A Christian is someone who's trusted in the Lord Jesus to be his Saviour and his Lord. That's what Abram did. That's what I know many of you here this evening have done. And if you haven't done it yet, then that's the one thing in your life you need to do. Trust in the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. And like Abram, you'll be righteous in God's sight. So God gave a gracious promise to Abram. Abram responded with a living faith. And even that was God's gift. And now finally, God makes a binding covenant with Abram. Abram's trusted the Lord. Abram is righteous in God's sight. And now God makes a binding covenant with Abram. A covenant is an agreement, a binding agreement, where God makes promises to men and women, and they receive those promises in faith. One of the illustrations that's used in the Bible that's particularly helpful of a covenant is marriage, where the two are committed to each other, where promises are given. And it's like God marrying us. He makes promises to us, and we in turn commit ourselves to the Lord in faith. Now here in Genesis 15, God solemnly binds himself to be the God of Abram, to be a father to Abram, his son. And even account in the second half of the chapter, a very strange experience that Abram had. It took place in a vision. And God tells Abram to lay out the animals he sacrificed, split them in two, leave a pathway between them. And then God passes through between the two halves of the sacrifice. God's presence is symbolized by the burning brazier and the flaming torch. And as Abram watches, these pass through between the two halves of all the sacrifices. And I think, what does that mean? What is going on here? What's it all saying to us? Well, it would appear that God, as he passed between the two halves of all those sacrifices, was really saying to Abraham, may I be cut in two if I don't keep my promises to you. Can you imagine God doing that? God committing himself so completely to Abram and his descendants that God says, may I be cut in two if I don't keep my promise to you. That is how powerfully God binds himself to Abram and to his people. God is making a covenant with Abram and his descendants that he will never, ever break. He can't break it. If God ever broke his promise, if God broke his covenant, he would be showing he isn't really the God that he claims to be. He'd be showing himself to be a liar. That is how deeply and powerfully God commits himself to Abram and to all his people. You see, only God passed between the halves of the sacrifice. Abram didn't. That shows us very powerfully, all Abram does is simply accept what God promises. Abram doesn't contribute to it, he gives nothing of value to it, it's God's work. And God gives Abram a little glimpse into the future. Abram's descendants, the Israelites, will be in exile in Egypt. God talks about that. 400 years the Israelites would be away down in Egypt. And it seemed at that time that God wasn't going to keep his promise. God promised the land of Canaan, but the Israelites were away down in Egypt. Was God going to break his promise? No. After 400 years, God would bring them back. And he would keep his promise. Nothing would derail God's promise. Nothing can break God's covenant. And God gives Abram comfort and reassurance. God reassures him in verse 15 that he would die in peace at a great age. And that was a great reassurance to Abram. There would be tough times ahead, but God says, you'll die in peace at a good old age. God loves Abram. God loves all his people. He delights to give comfort and reassurance to all of them, to all of us. And this chapter is full of assurance. Verse 18, we're told, the Lord made a covenant. God did it. If it had depended on Abram, it would have fallen to pieces in no time. But God made it. It wouldn't be broken. It would be kept in every single detail. All that God promised, he would fulfill. And in dark and difficult times, Abram could hold on to that. And he'd say, God promised, he's going to keep the promise. Sometimes it didn't look as if he would, but he will. And God keeps his promise and his covenant with us. When God brings us to believe in the Lord Jesus, when God forgives our sin and makes us his people, that covenant's never going to be broken. We will never be lost. None of God's blessings will fail. No matter what Satan does, No matter what we ourselves do, and when we sin and we fall, God will keep His promise. And He'll bring us all to glory at the last day. God's covenant is utterly sure. He says to your descendants, literally, I have given this land. Sons weren't even born. Abram hadn't a square inch of the land. But God says, I've given it. So sure, so certain. Isn't it wonderful to think that God's covenant with us is unbreakable? Whatever comes in life, whatever test we have to go through, however hard sometimes it may be, we can hold on to God's promise, to God's covenant. He will not break it. And if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself, God will never let you go. Even when you're doubting and you're struggling, God will never let you go. You wonder, am I really a Christian? God will never let you go. He held on to Abram and kept His covenant. He'll hold on to you and He'll keep His covenant, because it's the same gracious covenant. And God does it. If it depended on you and me, it would have fallen apart long ago. But God holds on to us, keeps us safe, and He will bring us to glory at the last day. God's covenant with Abram, gracious, couldn't be deserved. Same covenant into which He brings you and me, so that all who belong to the Lord Jesus in faith are the seed of Abram. And the promises are ours, and God will keep every one of them.